Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of the NBL News Podcast. Aiden has left us again. He's trapped in his bunker, so I'm stuck here with Jackson. How's it going?
We've tried for a couple months now to get him out of this hostage situation, and it's just not working. But we'll continue to persist.
We move on.
Yeah, we keep moving forward here.
Yeah.
We're not like the Navy, we leave men behind.
Yes, unfortunately. It is. Good round of basketball this weekend. A lot happening on the court. No real big stories off the court this week compared to last week. It's just funny how the NBL works. So everything happens in a couple days, and then there's no off-court news to talk about for the next week. But plenty of basketball still to talk about from this past week. Firstly, before we start, how good was it to see Corey Williams back of the house, sitting courtside, wearing the big sauce jersey, the Williams on the back. So good to see him sitting courtside again, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's very cool to see him back in Australia. I think he's been back in Australia for a while, but not going to games. And it's just, you know, good to see him out and about, because it's been a while. I want to say, well, he hasn't been
Since
to a game since last season. So, you know, it was good to see him. Everybody got around him during the game and got a very nice ovation when they put him on the screen a couple times. So,
yeah, missed him in the commentary booth this year, especially with it being back in stadiums, you know.
Yes.
Those infamous incidents between him and Bryce Cotton. Hopefully we see him back in the commentary booth soon, and I'd love to see him commentate a game with Trevor in the jungle over there. That would be so entertaining to listen to. So hopefully prayers up to Corey and he's back in that commentary booth soon. But let's talk about the basketball this week. I think the main talking point is the Phoenix. Two massive losses, I guess. One to the best team in the competition, and one to a team that is slowly on the incline, which is good to see. 28-point loss to Melbourne United. They came back in that third quarter a bit, the Phoenix, but they looked no chance throughout that game. And against the Hawks, that game, they were not in it at all in at Gippsland. That second game, they missed Creek. Creek went down, I think, late in that fourth quarter against United with leg injury. Don't know how long he'll be out for. They're saying could be back next week, but who knows with that. But not a pretty week for the Phoenix after last week. They got rid of Cummings. They signed Abdul Nadar, who made his debut against the Hawks. Was all right, considering he hasn't played in 2 years. Again, missing Craig Moller is a huge difference, and not relying on their depth. This was my biggest worry for them going into this year, and this is why I had them ninth, is because they didn't really upgrade their depth. I was always worried about that bench production and the depth, and we asked Simon Mitchell last year, you know, zero. I think it was a couple games they would have had like zero bench points, and as much as there's a stat, no one really cares about it. I think it's quite notable to mention, and I don't think they addressed it again this year. I mean, obviously they've made a little bit of changes. Vague is a bit of a 3-point shooter. Gak, I would say, is an upgrade on Pinu, but and Ayers been pretty solid for them, coming off the bench and starting a few games. But they're missing that Ryan Brockhoff, and they haven't really made any other upgrades since. What do you make of the Phoenix this past round, Jackson, and where they're at the moment?
Well, it was a very disappointing round, because I want to say they lost by a combined like 50 or 60 points when you combine the scores. Like that's a major thing. And in the NBL, you know, you can't be doing that, because, you know, that just shots down your percentage rapidly. And we know how vital percentage is in this league. Like, we've seen a couple of years in a row now where a team hasn't made the finals or the play-in due to percentage. So that's a big thing. But you were talking about their depth, and it's like, well, all these guys who shouldn't be starters are now starting because of certain, like Ben Airwood is a great backup guard in this league, but you know, when you put him into that starting five, like, who do you have on the bench who's gonna provide that scoring punch at a consistent level, because you've got nobody other than him? And like, Without Moeller and Creek, their forward depth is just shot. Like, you're starting Rhys Vaig at power forward, and then you've got, like, did no, Taurangi did play against United. It was a week before where he didn't play against Sydney. But, like, they just don't have the men at the moment. Like, they've upgraded for at least now Cody Statman to the main roster. But he didn't play a lot this past week. But I'm just concerned a bit because when you take Creek and or Williams out of that lineup and you don't have like a import level guy replacing them, they just look shot. Like they look half the team, even less than half the team that they are with them in. And they're basically a two-man team, you know? Like
Yeah.
when we look at Phoenix at their best, like I've got up the leading scorers in the league at the moment. Like Mitch Creek is averaging 19.5 points per game. And Williams is averaging 17, rounded up 17. But like their next best, you have to go down a bit when you get, because Cummings is no longer playing there, and you get down to Gary Brown. But like those two alone just, you know, really put the ball in the hoop so much. And also rebounding wise, like they are the two leading rebounders on that team. So like they just look a completely different unit without one of those two guys.
Yeah, and I think the other problem is Gary Brown. You know, I didn't like the re-signing at the start of the year. I just feel like this. He started off the year quite well, I thought, but again, there's I feel like there's better point guards out there that in games like that against Illawarra, you know, they're a team that you should not be losing to 28 points to, in my opinion. But 6 points for him in that game, Gary Brown, like. It's him and Williams really the only main starters, in that team. No Creek, no you know Nadal was playing. Abdul Nadal was playing his first game, and they're just my thing was I thought they would look good with Cummings in that team too, but now they lose him. It's like where's his scoring coming from? If there's no Creek, you know, Williams can score the ball, but if Brown's not doing it on a consistent basis, where else are these points coming from? You know, it's Benair and Vaig, maybe a couple games, but these guys are supposed to be, you know, bench pieces, and they're, you know, supposed to do it in spurts in random games. They're not supposed to be key scorers every game, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, you look at Brown, 6 points in that game against Hawks is just not acceptable. And, yeah, and Williams as well, like he's good on the offensive end. Like he gets on the boards and he's, you know, he's dominant in the post, but defensively he just, we saw it last season as well. He's just not up to the defensive standard, that he should be at. And I think that's another big issue for them. It's just like a lot of holes in their team at the moment. And, you know, there was a reason I didn't have them so highly rated into this year. Cause they just don't have the pieces. And if Creek, this is what I mean, if Creek goes down, who's that man going to step up? And they don't have that. And they're far away from a contender at the moment. As people thought they were at the start of the year, they look good at the start of the year, but no Cummings in that team now. And as I said, if Creek goes down, if Brown's not playing consistently, there's going to be issues. And can't rely on that bench depth for the rest of the year. Got anything to add about Phoenix?
Yeah, they could have been 10-6, but now they're 8-8. Like that is a major
And looking
thing
outside the top six now.
Because if they won both games, and yes, you know, let's say they lost to United, they'd be 9-6 with they'd be 9-7. Yeah, 9-7, and they'd be tied with Tassie, I think, at the
yeah,
moment.
that's what
But
I mean,
now
like they're close, like
yeah.
It sounds like we're saying they're the worst team in the league at the moment.
No, we're not.
But they're still up there. But it's just like this. They're missing some key pieces here. Like their roster building at the start of the year could have been so much better. And they could have been a true championship contender. You know, if I feel like they upgraded Brown, they found that right import that could, instead of Cummings, that's now not in the team anymore. And find that other key local piece next to Creek. I think they missed out on Bull Quoll. I think they missed out on Angus Glover as well. They were looking at those two guys who would have been perfect in this team, but they just haven't been able to replace that Ryan Brokhoff type player, and that's been their biggest issue for them. Staying on the Hawks though, how good have they been? I think they're, what are they, 4-1
Yeah,
with
three
three and
and
one,
one, I
three and one
think.
with Tatum as head coach now.
And the one could have easily been a win, you know, if
Exactly.
Gary Clark hit that mid-range shot.
Exactly. Like it's not a huge win to gloat about that game against the Phoenix, you know, considering they're missing a lot of players, but still 28-point win against them is huge for them and shows that turning point they've taken with Tatum as head coach, and they look like a totally different team now. I'm loving the way they play. You know, they beat Perth. They just beat the Breakers. They lost to the Bullets by the last shot. Still a long way to go, this team. You know, some people are saying re-sign Tatum. Oh, they're gonna make the top six. Settle down. Settle down. Let them, they got a good win against Wildcats. That's one good win. The other three games haven't, you know, they've been, two of those were wins, obviously, but haven't seen enough yet to make the assumption that they're a top six team and to extend Tatum. I think he's brought a whole new life into this team. I think he's a perfect kind of replacement at the moment. But I think what will really determine how good this Hawks team is for the rest of the year is this coming weekend over Christmas. They play the Jack Jumpers at home. Obviously, they lost their couple games the weekend, which we'll talk to in a minute, but still one of the elite teams in the competition. And then a big game Christmas Day against the Sydney Kings, which I think is going to be a real game to determine where they're at as a team with Tatum as head coach. And that will be a real interesting one to see. But what do you make of the Hawks and Tatum that game against Phoenix as well? Absolutely dominated. What do you make of the Hawks' recent run of times?
I am impressed. Like, I did think that, I mean, here's the thing. How long is this honeymoon period going to go for? We don't know. But the fact that they've won three out of their four games with Tatum as head coach, it's a really good sign. And Tyler Harvey looks like a completely different player now with under Tatum than under Giakaimus, and they have a really good team, and it's just they, and I'm not saying Giakaimus didn't get the best out of the players, but I'm just saying, like, you know, they're now put in a different situation for them to thrive in, and it's working at the moment. But people need to calm down on the re-sign Tatum stuff, because look, even if they make finals or the play-in or finish seventh, and people say, oh, re-sign Tatum, just don't do it, because we've, like, as an AFL fan, right? Like, and this completely different sport, but it's pretty much an exact same example. We've seen coaches get sacked, and then the guy replacing him do very well in the second half of the season, and it gets him a massive contract extension. It's like, hey, you're our guy. You're going to lead the team. You're going to be our head coach for the next 5 years. And then what happens is that they get sacked after 1 or 2 years. And like, we've seen it at Carlton a couple of times, seen it at North Melbourne a couple of times. I think we've, you know, like, Giakaimus is a bit of a different example because he was filling in for Goodwin while he had COVID, but like, he won a game against Melbourne United, and look what happened. And he got, whatever you want to call it, succession planned in Goodwin.
Well, I think if the, I
But
think
like,
the expectation here is if they make the top six from this point onwards, I reckon you extend Tatum. If they make the finals, I will give him a 5-year deal. I feel like that's the case. But if it's that seventh, if they finish seventh to eighth, I maybe think about it, look at those options. But if they go from where they were at the start of the year to making the top six, I think Tatum definitely deserves an extension to be able to bring that team, you know, up there. But still a long way to go in the season. We're halfway through. And as I said, this game against Sydney will really determine where they're at. But you know, we've mentioned, you know, oh, they should limit their rotations, but he's just been able to make every player work right now. Froehlich, I think, has been one guy that's been way better under Tatum. He's had some really big games under him so far. Justin Robinson's playing some good basketball as well under him, and they, as I said, they look like a totally different team. They're on the rise, but settle down. It's four games, you know. Let's see them play a tough team like Sydney. Yeah, they'd be Perth, but let's see another tough game against Tassie and Sydney. Let's see how they do this weekend to really get a grasp of where they're at. But I'm liking this Hawks team. The Jack Jumpers, on the other hand, a team that the Hawks do play this weekend, they lose both games. And to be fair, they do play, I think, second and third now, Sydney and Perth, second and fourth.
Yep.
They lose those two games. They lose to Perth by a point in a thrilling game there. They went down to the wire, and they lose to Sydney as well at home. And I was a bit shocked by that result. I thought Tassie going into that one would have had that easy, but mate, is this worrying signs at all? Because these are the teams they're gonna have to beat to win the championship, and this is I think this was their problem last season. They couldn't get over the hump against the Breakers. Do you worry about this at all, Jackson? They lose to Perth and Sydney, the other two top four teams at the moment.
I worry about their position at the end of the season if Perth and Sydney keep on winning because now they're behind them. But I'm not concerned about the brand of basketball that they're playing. Like, yes, they let the game get away from them against Sydney in the last, I want to say, 5 minutes from watching that game. They just allowed Sydney to do whatever they want for the most part. But with Perth, you know, when Bryce Cotton explodes on you, it's not. Half the time, it's not your fault of playing bad defense or whatever. Like, you can still play good defense and get absolutely torn apart. But look, I'm not concerned about it. I will say though that people are saying, oh, they flew to Perth and then oh they had to fly back to Tassie and oh blah blah blah. Just shut up. Like, I'm done with all these stupid travel arguments. Like, seriously. Because I've seen that a fair bit about like they're like, and I've heard about it, like they're traveling. It's like I don't care about what they do. This is the NBL. This is an Australian professional sporting league. You're gonna travel a lot. Deal with it. But like, I'm not concerned about the brand of basketball that they're playing. Like Crawford had, I want to say, 28 against Perth. Like he played really well. And Doyle, that was his first game back from being in the States for, the passing of his father. So look, if Doyle gets his legs underneath him, that'll be fine. I'm not concerned at all with Tassie and how they're playing because, you know, Magne's also come back really strong and it's just
Yeah,
they need to
17
figure
and
out
10
what works. Yeah.
against the Wildcats. Now, some people are saying, does Magne now start in this team over Marcus Lee? Because Magne is playing some really good basketball at the moment. And I propose this, though, Jackson, as a starting five. And a five they should use more often. I don't know if they've used Magne and Lee together yet that I can
No,
remember off the
not
top of
from
my head that
memory.
I've seen on the court. But I'd like to see Crawford, Doyle, obviously in the backcourt, but McVay, Magne, and Lee as a starting five. I want to see how that would work, because Magne's best season ever in his career was with the Bullets just before he went off to the NBA, and he was playing that kind of four spot next to Hodgson and allowed him to step out more from on the 3-point line, knock some of those shots down, and just be more physical down low, knowing he's got another big to swap in with him at other times. And I think that's what we're seeing at the moment, because he's got that help with Marcus Lee and Krizlovic. He can be more physical and throw his body towards anything. When he was at Perth and when he's at Tassie the last couple of years, he hasn't had that Marcus Lee. And you look at that year in Perth when he came back after the NBA, he didn't have that. He was the only real big in there other than Mooney. So,
Mooney.
yeah. So I really like what Magne's doing, but I want to see a Magne and Lee together. I want to see how they work together. I think it could be interesting to see. I don't know if you want to see that too, but
I'd like to see it if Magne can consistently hit his shots from outside. Like, that's the only thing for me because they would lack a fair bit of spacing and they'd be pretty top heavy. And let's say. They play a team who has a small power forward who's really more of a shooting guard. Like, let's say New Zealand runs small ball with Lamb at four, right? Like, that's going to be a terrible, terrible mismatch for them. But it could work if Magne can hit those shots.
I want to talk about that second game as well against Sydney. One guy I want to mention. I think you know who I'm going to mention in this game. You know?
Go ahead.
Jalen Galloway. I think this guy will be in the NBA. Not as, I'm doing a hot take. We don't even have this segment anymore. But I think Aiden highlighted it at the start of the year. But I don't think he'll be in the NBA next season. I think he'll be in the NBA this season. I think he'll sign a 10-day at the end of the year. Well, I think he'll still be in the NBA next season. But I think he'll start his NBA journey this season. Because he's already past the draft. Like, he's not draft eligible anymore. I don't know. He already spent, I don't know how it worked, but he obviously
It was
can't push
something
the.
to do with him being in high school in the States
Yeah.
and then playing professionally overseas. It's a stupid rule. It happened to AK Gak a couple of
Yeah.
years ago as well, so.
Yeah. So Galloway, and the thing is with Galloway, he's still 20 years old. I think he turns 21 in a couple of days' time, but he's still 20 years old, and he's putting up. What is it, 20, 22 points? He was real aggressive. And the plays he was making was a lot of isolation stuff. And that's what the NBA loves, a wing that is defensive orientated, but can just be so aggressive to the hoop. And he did that against one of the better physical defensive side in the Jack Jumpers. And if he's capable of doing that in the NBL, scoring 22 points in the NBL at 20 years old against a good team, I think there is NBA teams that are going to be wanting to pounce on him as soon as this season because, as I said, he's not draft eligible. He's 20 years old, 20, 21 soon. Like, he's the ideal kind of NBA player. I feel like the way he plays as well, his athleticism, I think people dismiss his athleticism as well on the court. I think the way he plays, like, he is NBA built, and I think his game would be more suited for that NBA style too. So, think that he's lucky he'll have the scenario of having teams having to offer him this early on. And hopefully we see it happen. I don't know if you agree with this statement I'm making, but I think we definitely can see Galloway being an NBA player sooner rather than later. But can you see him this season signing a deal?
I can see him his this season signing a. I mean, what did Cooks get? He got like a 4-year deal with like 2 years guaranteed or something.
Yeah, at
But
27.
like, yeah, 27. But like, I could see Galloway getting at least a 10-day or two, with an NBA team. Like he went to Summer League, this past year. Didn't really
With the
play much for
Wolves.
the Timberwolves. But that Timberwolves team was cursed as well, by the way, because like Sam Woerdenburg also played for them, but barely played. But I can see him getting a deal somewhere over there because that's, you know, he's the prototype of a bench role-playing small forward shooting guard, you know, defensive minded and can score on his own. Like that's what you want in an NBA team at the moment. So I can see it happening.
He reminds me a lot of Josh Green a bit. Yeah, he, like the way he plays, like 6'6" kind of wing that's athletic and really defensive orientated, as I said, and real
Not the same
aggressive.
shooter as Josh Green, but I do
No.
get what you're trying to say.
Yeah. And I think he can like be a major bench role on an NBA team. I think he has the potential to beat it. Like, he looks really good. And yeah, I really hope we see him in the NBA. He deserves it because yeah, he started this season on a two-time champion team. So back-to-back champion team. So yeah. Hopefully we see him in the NBA soon. Who makes the final 6 year? It's tough to decide between Cairns and New Zealand. That game between Cairns and New Zealand, start of the round, was very interesting. And New Zealand absolutely obliterated them, which I was definitely surprised with their result. But who has more potential this season to go further, you reckon, Jackson? Cairns or New Zealand? Obviously, we saw that New Zealand result. Cairns got a good win against Brisbane. But Cairns also are capable of beating a team like Melbourne United on Melbourne United's home floor. So, but New Zealand cheered him back and didn't play last game, but he'll be back next week for sure, playing minutes. Mantas Rupstavičius, another young player we've got to talk about, the Lithuanian. himself, just like me. Shout out, Mantas Rubštavičius. 21 points, 8 boards, 4 assists, I believe he had. Yeah, unreal game from him. He is on the older side, I think he's 21.
Yeah.
Yeah, so been on the older side, so that maybe looking at a draft and stash kind of deal for him. But man, he's looked really good recently for the Breakers, and I really like his game. I want to see the Breakers run a. I don't know if McDowell White comes back next week either, or when he'll come back, but a McDowell White, Parker Jackson, Cartwright, Lamb, Rustavages, and Cheatham 5 would be something kind of exciting to watch. Very small ball, very offensive kind of focus. But what team do you think has more potential to go further this season, Jackson?
Fully healthy, definitely New Zealand. However, if they ever do reach full health, I can't see it happening because they just get hit with so many injuries. Like who even knows if McDowell White's gonna come back? Like that's the thing. But Cairns have looked very solid. I mean, they almost pulled a Brisbane and choked against the Bullets on the weekend. Like they're up 20 points, I want to say, in the final quarter, and then they just lost it like that. But they don't have the shooting ability of other teams, Cairns, because they like to run Armstrong and McCall and Miller and a few other guys who can't really shoot the ball. But I do think that New Zealand do have a better prospect of going further in the season. However, Cairns are set up in a much better spot currently. They're 7-9. New Zealand, I think, are 5-9. So it's a bit of a different situation.
It's
And
kind of
here's the thing: New Zealand don't play Cairns again, and Cairns doesn't play New Zealand again. They're done. New Zealand won the series 3-0. Like,
which is interesting.
yeah.
Three of Breakers' 5 wins have come against Taipans, which is definitely interesting. Look at Benin, you look at a team like Cairns, it's hard to figure out where they're at because, as I said, they beat Melbourne United a few weeks ago, and then now they're getting killed by the Breakers, and then they beat the Bullets, and it's hard to tell where this Taipans team is kind of at the moment. They almost beat the Sydney Kings as well. They probably would have if it wasn't for obvious reasons. But I don't
Never
want to mention
again.
that game again.
Never.
That
We're
game
not
should be.
talking about it. It's getting thrown in the bin. It's done.
But yeah, that game was just so interesting to me, how New Zealand dominated. And yeah, it's hard to figure out where Cairns are at, but I think New Zealand do have more potential. Fully healthy squad. I think they have more potential to go further this year. Before we get into rapid five, some Boomers news reported by Olgan. Sad that they're not playing in Australia, but they're in advanced talks to play exhibition games against Team USA and Serbia in Abu Dhabi. I wonder how much money the Boomers get for playing in Abu Dhabi. But warm-up games for the Paris Olympics, obviously. I think Team USA playing like Sudan and Germany in London after that, or
South
something.
Sudan, yeah.
Yeah, South Sudan. So sucks. Because this could be, from what we heard, KD, LeBron, Curry, all these big names want to play in this Olympics, and
Embiid.
it, yeah, oh, I hate that, but
Yeah.
that's for another time. But yeah, I would have liked to see these games in Australia, but is what it is. Hopefully next World Cup, it's in Qatar. I want to see USA just on Australian soil again. Maybe you have to wait until Brisbane in 2032. But yeah, it sucks as it's in Abu Dhabi, but will be interesting games to see. Good warm-up games once for Australia. I think this is what we need though, because we played what do we play? Like South Sudan. I know we love South Sudan
Venezuela,
here, but
Brazil.
yeah. Brazil was pretty
We
solid
played
in the rest
France
of
as
them.
well in Japan
Yeah,
before the
like
tournament.
I think we need to play the USA, Serbia, Germany. We need to play those top teams to really prepare ourselves for the World Cup. So good to have that. And they'll be playing Korea, South Korea, I believe.
Yep.
In God, do they play anywhere else? We're both in Victoria. I've always been in Victoria, but Bendigo. in their FIBA Asia Cup qualifier against South Korea will be in Bendigo. Like, can we play some FIBA games somewhere outside of Victoria? Please. Please. That's all I'm
Or at least, play it in a major city. Like,
Yeah. They did play a couple in Cairns during COVID. They
yeah, I
played
remember
in
those.
Brisbane I think just before COVID hit.
They used to
And
play a fair, like, back in the early 2010s, they used to play a fair chunk of them at Bendat Basketball Center, I remember. Like,
but can we just come on, like play it at the entertainment center in Adelaide. I'm sure they will get a good crowd, or play it in Perth. Like, it'll be interesting to play this game in RSV. And we know it's not gonna be, we've got to have like the Reese Fags and the Kyle Adams playing in this game. But have it in Perth, have it in the RSC Arena or Bendat, and just have it somewhere else. I understand the logistics that every, all the officials for Basketball Australia are based in Victoria, but have it in Canberra. I don't know, just have it somewhere else. Not have
I
it
think the
in Bendigo.
Victorian government pays a fair coin for this, so that's the only thing.
But at the end of the day, those games don't mean anything. Australia ends up winning those qualifiers and the Asia Cup. Rapid five. Just you today, Jackson. So better be on the mark here. Here we go. Could Melbourne United beat the Detroit Pistons right now?
If Killian Hayes is starting, yeah.
How many have Pistons also? 23?
I think they just brought up number 24.
What I mean, it could happen. I like that. Oh, anyway, I'll continue on. Get back to it later. Will Dejan Vasiljevic be the only player on Adelaide's roster from this season for next season?
No, he'll be one of two.
Okay. Does Rocco start for Brisbane next season?
Yes, and I hope so.
Would you rather draft Trenton Flowers or AJ Johnson right now?
Pick some straws. I'll say Johnson's better than Flowers. He just hasn't gotten the opportunity.
And would Jalen Galloway be a first round pick if he was draft eligible this year?
No.
Okay. Interesting stuff. Quickly about that Melbourne Pistons game. I know it's ridiculous to say, but if you watch the Pistons, they are god awful at the moment. And I
They
think,
almost beat Atlanta today.
well, Atlanta are
Lost by,
also
I want
pretty
to say,
bad.
four.
But
So.
I would love to see just the Pistons, get the week off, but they play this weekend. They travel down to the John Cain Arena, sell it out. Open air game instead of Perth, as much as that will be a huge game. Instead of playing Perth, play the Pistons, FIBA rules, 10-minute quarters, open air game, John Cain Arena. Would Pistons win that game? I don't know.
No.
I don't think they would. But that's just imagination, isn't it? So we can all dream. But
I mean, we had high hopes for Cairns in New Zealand earlier this year, and that
that
didn't
didn't end
quite
well.
happen.
No.
So.
But as I said, if maybe an NBA team travel down here, do we have more chance of winning? Probably. So I don't know. Tips for the week. This is the longest round for this season, I believe, and keeps going till Thursday. So I don't know when we're going to record our next episode because you got that Christmas kind of period. So we don't know if we will get an episode even out for next week. Unfortunately, we'll see how we go. But the tips, the round ends on Wednesday the 27th, but there is a game on the 28th, so it's kind of no stop. Love how many straight days of games is there? I think it goes
I think there's
till,
like 10.
yeah, until January 1st, 22nd to January 1st. So anyway, New Zealand Sydney at Spark. That will be a very interesting game, actually.
I am interested in that, but I'm going Sydney. But Sydney could do something stupid defensively, and New Zealand could easily win. So,
I'm
but
gonna go
I'm saying
Sydney as well.
Sydney.
I'm going Sydney. After they put that game against Tassie, unlike Sydney in that one. Cairns, Phoenix in Cairns. I think Cairns should win that one. That game is going
Hands.
ahead. Yeah, that game is
Yeah.
going ahead, thankfully. Hopefully
I mean,
everyone who
but
can.
before we move on, do you remember last year when United played the Breakers in New Zealand, in Auckland, when all the flash flooding was going on? Like, and how that game was almost canned? Like there was images outside of Spark Arena the night before with water like up to where my desk basically is. So like it is, you know.
Yeah,
Hope
hopefully
I mean
everyone in
this is just
Cairns.
like hopefully everybody in Cairns is safe and all right. But yeah.
But the game is going ahead. They can go to the airport. It looked like the airport was flooded, so hopefully
Yeah.
everyone's all right there and they can continue playing. But Hawks, Tassie on Saturday in Illawarra. Now this really determine how good the Hawks are.
I want to say Tassie, but
Oh, going for the Hawks.
Illawarra has been very good. Like,
Has he lost two on the weekend?
I do think Roth is going to drill him in, though. So,
Yeah, I don't see
Tassie.
Tassie losing three in a row. So I'm gonna say Tassie will win that one. I'm gonna game it around. People want us to preview this one. Melbourne Perth.
Melbourne. With this, I mean, Perth beat Melbourne without LT for like 39 minutes and 40 seconds,
No Huck Porty.
without Ian Clark for three quarters, without Huck Portie for most of that game. I
Delhi? Did
think you're
Delhi
not.
play that game?
Delhi did play. He got injured in overtime.
That's right.
When the game was already over, he injured himself and didn't play for the next couple of games. But United should win. But if we know anything about this league, is expect the unexpected.
Yeah, it's just like you don't know. Like Perth could get smacked by 30, and
Oh
then but
yeah.
they could win by 30. Like this Perth Wildcats team is so unpredictable at the moment. I still think Melbourne win though. I think they'll shut down Cotton. That's the key. We saw the Illawarra game. I think with Illy and Delhi in that backcourt, Cotton will have a hard night, and they are relying so heavily on Cotton. So I'm gonna say Melbourne in this one. You said Melbourne too?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
said Melbourne.
Adelaide, Brisbane, Christmas Eve. Expecting a sellout game. Probably biggest crowd ever in Adelaide history, which is absolutely surprising to me, but good to see the Adelaide crowd still showing out despite all the nonsense going on over there. God.
Next question.
No. No, it's what do you mean? This is a, are you saying that it's a terrible game, or are you saying Brisbane an easy win?
Brisbane, easy win.
Really?
Yeah,
You're really
because
saying Brisbane easy win against Adelaide?
I'm sick and tired of this Adelaide team. I don't want to watch them anymore. It's just getting to the point where it's like, do I have to really watch Adelaide play? Because they've just been such a mess off court. But
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Adelaide. I this is not a next question type of game. Brisbane have been quite out of form recently too. So I'm gonna say Adelaide finally get a win. Home crowd, biggest crowd I think they're ever predicting for an Adelaide game. So I'm gonna go Adelaide for the upset. Oh, kind of. Tassie Phoenix on Christmas Day. I'm gonna say Tassie in that one.
Tassie. Phoenix could
And
drop out of the top six this round.
I think they will. If Creeks are playing, oh boy. Good luck. Sydney Illawarra. On Christmas Day as well.
Sydney. I want to say Sydney.
I'm going to say Sydney too. Unfortunately, I think the Hawks will go on too this weekend. So, yeah, Sydney in that one. Boxing Day, the Taipans and the Wildcats. Cairns, these are the two of the most unpredictable teams in the comp right now, Cairns and Perth. Oh, God.
Pinder returning to Cairns for the first time.
Is that right?
Yeah. Because Perth played Cairns once this season, earlier this season, but that was in Perth. This is the first time Pinder's back in Cairns, I believe. At least I think
If
so.
that's the case, I'm gonna tip Perth in this one. Pinder's got to have a big game against his former side, but man, this is such an unpredictable game.
Yeah.
It really
Look,
could go either way.
pick names out of the hat. I'm going Perth, but like who
Yeah.
knows?
And apparently the last game around is on the Wednesday, the 27th corner. It's a terrible voice crack. The Wednesday, the 27th. Last game around, apparently. Brisbane, New Zealand at Nissan Arena. God. Some tough games this week, and I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for this round. God. Brisbane, New Zealand.
Like, here's the thing. Like, this has probably been, and not just because of the length and how many games are being played, but like, this has been a very difficult round to predict because there's a few teams where it's like, oh, they're on the back of two losses, or oh, they've won a couple in a, like Illawarra, who should be losing games. They've somehow won all these games, and you know New Zealand might be back, but who knows? I'm going New Zealand.
I'm gonna
Stuff it.
go New Zealand. Yeah, I feel like they gotta get back on track now. With Cheatham in this squad. So if McDowell White plays, I think New Zealand will win too. Anyway, you got anything to add before we sign off?
Have a Merry Christmas, be good to your family, watch basketball, watch more basketball. That's all I'm gonna say. And hopefully, we didn't talk about this. This first year where they're playing two games on Christmas Day, so hopefully it's not a bomb and it sucks. So
Yes, hopefully. Well, they've already had a few issues with the broadcasting there, but
yep.
yes, definitely tune into those. Have your meal, your nice lunch slash dinner for Christmas Day, and tune into the NBL because there's absolutely no other sport on during that day. So get around the NBL. I think it's great that they're playing on Christmas Day. Give some people stuff to do at the end of the night. So excited for this round. Boxing Day, Christmas Eve, festive season. Let's get some festive hoops. I'm excited for this round. Have a Merry Christmas, everyone.
Also, one more thing. Hopefully Santa doesn't do his hamstring this year. I'm
For
hoping
Sydney.
that he actually plays. I want to see him do the tip off. Like, come on.
No,
That
that's.
advertisement has been down my
How old are you,
throat
Jackson?
with
Do
Flair
you still believe
McIntyre.
Santa is real? Is it?
We all believe in different things, Evan. You got to believe
Sorry,
somehow. I
kids
just bought
watching.
a Ty Webster t-shirt with Believe on it by Nick Tan. So you got to believe in some things.
Anyway, everyone have a Merry Christmas. We'll see if we record in between then and the new year. But stay safe, have a good festive season, and see you guys later.